A concerned listener got in touch with the show after the discovery of needles on Portavogie Beach. They were found by children playing in the sand on Tuesday afternoon. And if you remember Tuesday, it was a very sunny day. So I assume that the beach would have been quite busy with children and families enjoying the summer holidays. I've been speaking to Chief Inspector Jerry McGrath, who told me about the find.
Finding needles on a beach in any location, whether it be anywhere in the peninsula or anywhere in Northern Ireland, causes great concern, absolutely. People are disposing of these in a manner that causes danger to others.
How surprising is this? Is this something that happens quite often?
It is not something that happens quite often, but one, when it does happen, causes us great concern. And working in partnership with the council, who are equipped and trained to deal with these matters and seize these hazardous items, we work together with them to get these items off the beach and into a place for destruction.
When we're talking about this, Chief Inspector, what exactly did these children find on the beach? Because let's remember, Tuesday was a very sunny day, so I would imagine the beach was quite busy, a lot of families there.
I can't confirm how many children were there or how busy that beach was in particular. I do know they were lifted by a member of the public and removed to a safe place, and that the police have worked with the council to seize those. They found a number of used needles.
There's obviously the immediate fear and concern then of cross-contamination, of people pricking themselves with these if they don't realise they're there and they go to lift these out of the sand.
I think it's very important that we get a message out to everyone in the community who finds needles discarded in such a hazardous and reckless way to approach with caution not to touch them. Ring the police, ring the council, and together we can try and resolve this and take them into a place of safety. I think the issue for me is the societal issue. We have drug users using drugs, using needles, and disposing them in a way that is reckless and careless and causing danger to others. So I'd appeal to anyone with information around these matters to come to us, either through 101 or via Crime Stoppers, an independent charity, because together, working on their information, we can help protect everyone and give support and guidance to these individuals who are, many of them addicts, many of them have got addictions in these areas. They need support and help. We have a responsibility as a statutory agency to pursue and prevent crime. So I'd appeal to everyone who has information or anything that can help us, to come to police or to contact Crime Stoppers independently.
Because obviously, Jerry, these aren't needles from people that are, you know, diabetic, etc. These are people that are using illegal drugs. Can you draw a direct comparison with an increase in drug-related issues in that area of the country, or is this something that stands alone?
I can't make any comparisons at this stage. Ards North Down is a very safe place compared to all of Northern Ireland. We're delighted to have people come and use our beaches and use our facilities here. And this is not something that's happening every week. I can confirm that now. This is something that we treat seriously when these reports are received by police, and that we, with other partner agencies, work together to try and resolve this issue in that area. And let me appeal to those people in the peninsula. If you have information or anything you can help us to help protect you, give us a ring.
The key thing here is, Jerry, not to try and pick these up yourself, not to try. You might feel the need, if you see other people around as well, to try and clean them up in case someone does fall on them or tread on them, but you just give them a wide berth and contact yourselves or the council.
Or the council. The local council parks department to which this area refers, they have the capability to put these needles into the sharps box.
You've already kind of alluded to this yourself, Chief Inspector, but there's a real disregard for the health and the safety of other people, just to find it okay and to feel it's all right to dispose. If you might have an addiction, have an issue where you need to use these needles, whether it be heroin or whatever it is, but to feel that it's okay to dispose of them in such a reckless way.
I think there's a real challenge around this. The people who are using drugs, are they in a fit state of mind? Are they in full control of their faculties? Is this reasonable behaviour of someone who is in a rational state of mind? I would argue that it's not. So I think and what we don't know at this stage is, was that the location in which they injected? Have they fallen out of a bag? Have they been washed up? There's a number of options around how those needles got to be there. We cannot say that for sure. But what I can reassure the public is that we will be patrolling that area. We'll be increasing our profile. We'll be trying to get to the bottom of how those needles came to be there. Is that a place where people feel it is safe to inject? If in case that, or have they washed up, have they been disposed of by someone else? But those are the issues, because someone who's using drugs needs help and support around these matters. That is clearly my view around this too, because I want to protect them, I want to protect the public. And where a needle is left recklessly and dangerously post-injection, that causes concerns for all of the community.
this is something that's maybe not one for you, but I want to ask you anyway. There's been suggestions from different countries in the EU where some places are creating these sort of safe zone for people with drug addictions to go and to use. Do you ever see that as something that would be even considered here in Northern Ireland? So there's an isolated particular area where they can go?
It's a very good question, and it's my job as a police officer is to enforce the law, to work in education and work in partnership with others in terms of community planning and to try and make safe places, safe areas for people. It's our job to enforce the whatever the lawmakers make. I think there are examples, as I'm sure you know, of other areas that take a different approach to drug enforcement and the legalisation and such like. For me personally, it is my job to try and educate. I'd love to spend more time educating and preventing this and supporting these individuals rather than criminalising and bringing them before the courts. As part of this, drug culture leads into crime, and the crime has been seen as an issue where people commit crime to fund these habits. If we can take the drugs out of the system, if we can take the need of that addiction, if we can support people through their addictions, through other agencies, that's how I think we get to a better place where a crime does not happen as a result of people trying to fund and feed these habits.
Gerry, is there any increase in the likes of heroin and injectable drugs in Northern Ireland that you're aware of?
At the stage, I'm not able to tell you that locally. Locally, I keep a close eye on drugs, and I'd like to thank all of the public that do. That's why our drug success is so good in this district, and I think I'd argue across all of Northern Ireland. When people ring us and we act on their information, we take drugs out of the system.
But there's no noticeable increase that you're aware of?
I'm not picking up a noticeable increase of injected drugs in my patch here. Absolutely not. That is not the case. I think there's clearly a high number of people that would use the cannabinoids, and prescription drugs being redistributed to people to which they're not prescribed. People buying drugs on the internet, feeling they're safe, that has led to deaths. And you've heard some of our messages around that throughout all of Northern Ireland, throughout the UK as a whole. Challenge for me is to spend time educating young people in particular to understand the difference and understand the choices that they can make. But the drugs conviction can affect their employment, can affect their travel, can affect their entire future.
Chief Inspector Gerry McGrath, thank you very much.
Thanks, Vinnie.
Listening to that is Michael, a former heroin addict. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, how are you?
Oh, not too bad. What are your views on this? Is the answer dedicated areas for drug users?
I mean, first of all, we have to address where the needles were found. They were found on the beach, so they could have been washed up during a storm. I haven't seen the condition of the needles, so I don't know how long they were there for. You know yourself, on a sunny beach, if you drop something, you can be lost in an instant. So really, I mean, the area where they were found was a particularly nasty one because there are people playing there, young children, etc. And I would say that one of the primary things we have to do now is address drug education, because needle etiquette, as we would call it, has fallen by the wayside. During the late 90s and the early noughties, we had massive sort of advertising campaigns around safe disposal of needles. And that's all fallen away. You know, we don't have the funding for that anymore. So new heroin users are not getting that same message, so they are discarding needles in an unsafe manner. I think consumption rooms, which you raised there, are a great idea. I mean, if you want to stop the number of needles being found on the streets and in parks and on beaches, etc., drug consumption rooms create a safe space for drug users and for the public. A drug user can inject using clean needles, keep themselves safe, stop or prevent brain damage, prevent overdose, because there will be naloxone, which is the heroin antidote, on site. You know, all these things can be taken in with a drug consumption.
And Michael, how do these kind of places, because there are places like this in Dublin, how do they actually work? Are they like a mini hospital? What's the setup like?
Essentially, it's a room with cubicles, much like a job centre. It's where you go in, you're given clean needles and injecting equipment, and you shoot up, and that's you. I mean, there's no sort of bother around it. I mean, they do take minor details like postcode and initials, etc. But, I mean, really, that's it. You know, it's a very safe thing. I think one of the things we have to mention is the fact that those needles that were found on that beach, there's absolutely no guarantee they were used by heroin users. Almost 50% of the use of our needle exchange facilities in Northern Ireland are for steroid users. So, I mean, there's no guarantee that those were heroin needles.
These dedicated areas, Michael, do they actually help to tackle the problem, or do they help to kind of prolong the issue? maybe you referred to the lack of campaigns or the downturn in campaigns on safe needle disposure. But when you're promoting a place where people can go as opposed to trying to get them off the drugs, is it going the wrong way about it?
No, I think what you've got to do is understand just how complex an issue this is. I mean, really, whenever you're addicted to a drug, it consumes vast quantities of your time. So to have a safe space where you can go and inject and talk to someone about your problem and minimize the harm around it, and that's not just your harm, but everybody's harm in this addiction, it's a fantastic opportunity. I mean, really, we do have to increase addiction service funding, because in Northern Ireland, we have seen a boom in heroin use. I don't know what the chief inspector's figures are, what he's looking at, but he must be blind, because there has been an absolute boom in heroin use, and we're seeing younger and younger people starting to use the drug. And it's an extremely addictive drug, so you may not be an addict per se to anything else, but heroin can grab you and take you.
Where did your use start, Michael?
Plain and simple, at a party, I was quite young. You don't have to be hanging around in shady alleyways or in dodgy bathrooms or anything like that. It can just be in a party with some very respectable people. And the increase in heroin use is moving that way as well. It's just so readily available now that people are getting access to it a lot younger and a lot quicker.
Because the reason I asked Michael about your experience and how it began for you is there is this assumption, as you've alluded to yourself, that when we talk about heroin or drug users, there's a certain type of person that will get addicted to drugs them in the first place. But that's just not the case.
No.
How much does it grip your life? Like, how does it take over?
I think the problem here is one of the things we have to realize is that those statistics that we have on heroin and drug use and alcohol abuse are all from statutory services. So there's a certain person that falls into that category. It's people who are lower middle class. Those kind of people will fall into that bracket because they can't afford anything else. Whereas there's an entire cross-section of people, those higher classes, so to speak, that are using the same drugs, getting just as addicted and ruining just as many lives. But you don't see them in those statistics because they don't go to those places.
The reason I keep going back to your own experience, I think there's a lack of understanding. If people have never been there, they've never had an addiction problem, whether that is drugs, alcohol, gambling, whatever, it's difficult for people to comprehend what it's actually like when it takes over your body and you, to an extent, don't have control in what happens.
Totally. I mean, I think one of the things was I came from a very good home. I had a wonderful parents, a very middle-class upbringing. I'm not going to deny that. You know, it was a wonderful thing. People think that you get into drugs because you've had a horrible childhood, you were beaten, you were abused, whatever it was. You don't, right? You can get into it if you're just a normal person like me. And it took over my life completely. I mean, I was drinking very, very heavily. I was using a lot of other drugs, poly drug use. And towards the end, before I went away to treatment in England, I was completely sick. I had absolutely no social life. I had no friends really to speak of. I had some very good friends who stuck by me, but no real friends that were with me 24/7. And my life was all about drinking and drug use. I mean, it was completely consumed by that. And I had, at times, very little regard for how that was affecting my father, very little regard for how that was affecting the rest of my family or my friends. And they were watching, essentially, someone who they loved die in front of them every single day. And it was hard for them, especially whenever they reached out for help from statutory services or anyone. And at that time, there was very little for us to do. I mean, we were just clutching at stuff and getting nothing. And in the end, I had to go away to England for comprehensive treatment. I was there for 10.5 months. I was extremely lucky to get that opportunity. And I would ask that we put those sort of services here in Northern Ireland for everybody, because without them, we're losing people on a daily basis. I mean, people talk about the war on drugs. It's not a war on drugs. It's a war on drug users. It's a war on people like me who are just trying to help or just trying to survive on. And we're being slaughtered out there. You know, we're being incarcerated. If you want proof that incarceration doesn't work, just look at the last 50 years. Incarceration does not work. Arrest and punishment does not work.
What turned it around for you, Michael? What was it that made you want to change what was happening?
I had had enough. I was literally on my knees, and I couldn't do it anymore. I didn't want to live that life anymore. And tried to kill myself. You know, I took a massive overdose. I ended up in hospital for a week on various trips running into me, and my father came and saw me and was absolutely petrified. The first time in my life I'd ever seen my father truly scared, because he didn't know what to do. And for me, I realized I couldn't, and I had to change. I had to do something different. I didn't know what, but I just had to do something different. And the fact is, there's so many people in that situation that I can tell you about now in Belfast, and they're looking for that help, and the waiting list is 12 months long. So while they're waiting to get help for this addiction, they're dying. People are quite literally dying for treatment.
Michael, I want to say thank you very much for coming on this morning. If you want to get in touch with the programme, 03030 80 55 55.